Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Gets a touch, but he helps out.
That is a man's jam! DeMarcus Cousins nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the King's Court Podcast, presented by SatKingsNation.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the King's Court Podcast. I'm your host, Vince Miracle, and joining me, as always, is the human couch potato, the one and only producer, Joe Morgan. What up, Joe?
I'm telling you, I don't know where this human couch potato thing came from, but you sure are sticking to it. You're going to have to give me a new name, or I swear I'm going to start editing you out.
That's okay. You can start editing me. I'm all right. I'm allowed to call you whatever I want because, first off, you are below me in the rankings for fantasy. You cannot beat me in fantasy. And on top of that, because I'm the person who's doing the intro to you and I'm hosting the show on this beautiful Friday night, then I get to call you what I want. And I love calling you the human couch. Honestly, I don't know what it is. It's just I don't even know where it came from. Honestly, you look more like a thumb to me. Like if I look at a thumb, that's what I think of.
You remember
when I'm looking
at you. There was a movie, I don't know, 20 years ago, I can't even tell you, but it was like some kind of Spy Kids movie. I think that was the name of it, actually. It was Spy Kids. And the bad guys were thumbs. That's really funny
to
say that.
Like.
I'm going to have to get a face. I'm going to have to get a side-by-side comparison. I actually just shaved my head completely bald tonight, so it'll really work out well.
Oh, man, that's perfect. That's exactly what you look like, except you're Spy Kids with glasses. You're the thumb. They're called thumb thumbs. That's what they're called. I was young enough
to
watch.
Yeah, you're a child, so you actually that was probably your generation. Whereas my kids were watching it, so yeah, I'm a little behind. I knew it was something like that, but I can never quite remember these things.
All right, Joe, we have a lot to cover today. We're going to be reviewing the Sacramento Kings win against the Los Angeles Lakers out in Vegas, and we're also going to be previewing Saturday night's game against the Washington Wizards in Kentucky. And I want to stop the show right here real quick just to give a huge thank you to everyone who has been listening this week. You guys have been sticking with us when we've been doing this daily show with something brand new that we had just started this week, and we'll be getting reviews on the show. And again, I want to say thank you to everyone who has been listening, because it's a huge appreciation to what you guys are doing for us, because this show is nothing without you guys listening. And again, I'm going to say it, and I know I keep harping on it, but leave those ratings and help us grow up the iTunes charts, because we see these ratings that you guys have been giving us on iTunes, and we just feel great about it every single time we see one. And so, again, if you guys can leave a rating, that would be amazing. But, Joe, I think it's time. I think we're ready. Let's go ahead and hop on into the Vegas time portal where we saw the Los Angeles Lakers take this L from the Sacramento Kings. And one person's name that I have to bring up, and he was just wet. He was just nasty. He went 7-for-7 from three-point range, and that's Anthony Tolliver. I know he's probably not going to get a ton of minutes through the regular season, but I will say this. He may be taking minutes away from Omri Caspi, but you saw a performance like that, Joe. What are your thoughts?
Bro, what did you say, 7-for-7? I mean, what could my thoughts be? I mean, what does a guy say about something like that? You go, well, I guess
hashtag wet ball.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he knew where he was putting it that night. I guess he knew what was going on. And, you know, everybody who knows me knows I'm a big fan of Omri. I like people who can shoot it deep. I like his attitude. But, hey, whoever's got the hot hand needs to be in the game. I don't, you know, You never play a guy just because of his smile. You got to, you know, guys hitting 7 for 7. You let him, you just keep shooting until you miss, brother. And he certainly did that. He was blasting them. So that's what you want to see.
Yeah, he had the web ball. He had the team. He was the team's leading scorer with 21 points. He also contributed 6 rebounds with 4 assists. But the 7 3-pointers and on all 7 attempts was just ridiculous. He was another splash brother, and he was on the Sacramento Kings, and it was fun to watch. Hopefully that's going to be something that he's going to be able to carry into the regular season. Just so you guys know, the people that sat out of Thursday's night's game was Matt Barnes, Omri Caspi, DeMarcus Cousins, Isaiah Cousins, Ty Lawson, Yorgos Papagiannis, Lamar Patterson, Malachi Richardson, and Garrett Temple. All of those players got the night off, and everyone else was able to step up and produce. Another player that I wanted to talk about here, he was on triple-double watch, and that was Rudy Gay, who played 36 minutes in the win, had 19 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, did not miss any of his free throws, was able to hit a 3-pointer, and only had 1 turnover, Joe. Rudy Gay is becoming one of those players that is just living up to my expectations. And what I mean by that is I still stand by my statement of saying he is a top 10 player at his position. I know I sometimes get those people that are saying, no, he's not. He's maybe top 15, but he's not top 10. No, he is a top 10 player at his position. I think you're seeing a player that's going to come into every game, be a consummate professional throughout the entire regular season. I know that, you know, there may be talks of him leaving at the end of the year. And, you know, we just had James on yesterday, and he talked about maybe his mind can be changed once this team starts winning. But what are your thoughts on Rudy Gay throughout the preseason? Not necessarily just this game, because it is just preseason, but as a whole, what are your thoughts on Rudy Gay moving into the regular season?
Well, we've talked about it in the past. I think he is a professional. I think he is going to play to the best of his ability, regardless of his situation here. I don't think that's going to change anything, and it certainly looks like he's going to thrive in this situation. And if he does, people always say, oh, he's moving on. Yeah, maybe, but there's a long year between now and when that contract has to be negotiated or thought about. And a lot of things can happen. I'm not saying that it's a positive sign. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying don't ever count anything until it happens. You know, this is a business decision for him. He does want to win a championship before he retires. I understand that. Same time, you know, if you really mesh somewhere, you really are doing great, why would you leave? And we'll see how that plays out throughout the year. I think he's going to do really well. I've had my moments where after certain comments, I thought, man, this is it. He's going to be gone. And then the next day something comes out and you go, oh, all right, he's sticking around. He's going to fight it out. And either way, he's going to play for a contract this year. He's going to be, you know, fighting hard. And, you know, he's definitely the second scoring option. And he's not going to change that. And it certainly looked from the performance against LA the other night that he can handle that. What do you say about it? I mean, good job, Rudy.
Yeah, I think one thing that James brought up on yesterday's show that I thought was very important and something that stuck with me a little bit is that I believe Dave Yeager even brought it up right heading into the Lakers game, was that there's the depth behind Rudy Gay. While there's talent there with Omri Caspi, Tolliver, Matt Barnes, no one can really step up and be that second scoring option. And that's why you're going to see the possible option of Aaron Aflalo be the three and Ben McLemore be the three. But I think that's where the Kings are having the most struggles, is that they don't know where they're going to go after Rudy Gay. And that's why I think James even brought it up, and we've talked about it on the show countless times, is that I don't think you're ever going to see a lineup without at least one of the starters in the game, because that bench is just too small to run the system that they're looking for. And that's why you're going to have a guy like Aaron Aflalo, who's a shooting guard that can post. And I'm glad I'm bringing up Aaron Aflalo, because he was giving Jose Calderon that work in the post. He almost looked like me on anybody else who tries to guard me in the post. He was just doing that man dirty. He said, Jose Calderon, you are too small. Get this bucket. And it was fun to watch. Also, D'Angelo Russell, we'll get to him in just a minute before we move on to the Wizards game, but 31 points and 11 assists, just wow. And then Darren Collison had 20 points, 4 assists, and 7 or 4 rebounds and 7 assists. But back to the Rudy Gay situation, I still think the Kings need to train him before the season begins if they want to get the best for the bang of the buck. But yeah, I just the more I see him play like this, and the more you hear now guys like James Hamm, who's the CSN Kings insider, and you guys can listen to that episode. It was Thursday's episode. Talk about how the depth behind him is a little bit questionable, and he's the second scoring option on the team. And then you hear Jaeger address it as well. It's like they rely on him too much. So what are they going to be getting back in return? And I just don't know what it would it be. But if I'm going to go with a buy or sell, or if I had to go over under on 50% on him being traded, I'm still going on the over. Joe, are you?
I'd have to go with the under preseason. Before the season actually starts, I think I'm going to go with the under. Mid-season, late season, when people are starting to make playoff runs, possibly it gets a little higher. But it all comes back to what they're offered. I've said this countless times. I would trade anybody at any time given the right situation. And if they get the right offer, they're going to take it. But they're not going to take nothing for him. He's too valuable to the team. He's too valuable as a piece to the team to just give him away for nothing. There's just no chance that Vladdy's going to accept an offer of nonsense just to move him and make him happy. They're going to keep him as long as they need to keep him. That he is making more for the team than the trade is worth. There's no way around that. Again, this is a business decision. This isn't a personal decision. This isn't about his happiness or the Kings or anything else. It's just about who can win more games. How can the Kings win more games? What can they get that can help them win more games, either now or in the future? So preseason, go with the under. Midseason, maybe it gets up to 50% or even higher. Maybe you go with the over eventually.
As we move on to the other side here, there's only one person I really want to talk about from the Lakers side, and that's D'Angelo Russell. And the reason why I want to bring that up is because he was able to do this against, you know, Darren Collison, which I think is very admirable. And the only reason why I'm bringing this up is because people have been hating on D'Angelo Russell, you included, Joe. You've been hating on this guy because of what he had done last season with the Nick Young video, and he's been labeled as immature. But I really like the steps that he's taken this offseason, at least the way he's addressed the media, and he's been how aggressive he's been on the floor. And one of the things that he said in an interview with, I want to believe her name was Candace, but I can't remember off the top of my head, was that I'm addressing every shot, I'm addressing every practice, and I'm addressing every game with a mindset that this is work, and I'm going to address it with as much professionalism as possible. And I think that's exactly what you want to hear from a guy like D'Angelo Russell, who had that mishap happen with that video. But Joe, you saw this type of game. Were you shocked by the defense that the Kings came out with in that third quarter when they gave up 30 points? Or do you think of it as just it was preseason and D'Angelo Russell got loose?
Again, preseason game. I'm not going to hold too much up to that. I would say over the entire course of the game, they played good defense except for that one little stretch. You know, when you hold the other team to 40% or 46-5 from the field, it's not a great night, but you didn't let them go totally wild. So
That third quarter was nasty. 36 points in the third quarter. That is gross. That should never happen again. But I think, like you said, it is preseason. Not everyone was there, but still. I mean,
yeah, that's but in that second quarter, they held them to 19.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
I mean, when they look at the lineup, they can. You look at the lineup and who moved around and what happened. And again, it's preseason. You're never going to do that in the regular season. It's not going to look the same way. When in the first half, they held them to 25 and then 19. And 25 is, you know, an average score, but 19 is perfect. If you can do that every quarter, you're going to win. And again, 58-7 from the field is what the Kings shot. If you shoot 58-7, if you beat your opponent in both from the field and in threes by more than 10 points, come on, you can't lose a game. And from behind the arc, they shot 61.9%. And obviously, we already talked about who had the hot hand, but regardless, the whole team was hitting them. It looked nice. It was a good game.
And now, guys, that was our preview for the Sacramento Kings versus the LA Lakers. We want to hear your guys' thoughts, of course, because I mean, what's a conversation between Joe and I without somebody else choosing a side? So, who do you? I guess not really choose a side, but hear at least your guys' thoughts as well. So, you guys leave your guys' comments in the comment section below, whether you guys are listening to it on SackKingsNation.com, if you guys are listening to the show and you guys saw it in any of the Facebook groups, or if you guys see it on Twitter at VM Center at SackSportsJMorgan. I'm going to pause the show right here before we move on to our preview, actually, Joe, and we're going to give a shout out to our sponsor, BrickHouseIndustries.com. Everyone go to BrickHouseIndustries.com, check out all their apparel from hats, shirts, and socks, and when checking out, be sure to use promo code. And you will get a 10% discount right on us. And hey, if you want to keep up to date with all their latest apparel, you can follow them on your phone through these apps of Instagram and Twitter by just following them at @BrickHouse_IND. Joe, guess what? We're moving to the game of the week that we talked about earlier. I believe it was on Monday's show when we were doing the Kings Week segment. And this was our game of the week. Why? Mainly because it was the last game, but also because it's my favorite team in the Eastern Conference with John Wall there, one of my favorite point guards in the league as a whole. John Wall is back, and in 19 minutes against the Philadelphia 76ers on Wednesday night, he had 9 points and 9 assists. Bradley Beal is relatively healthy right now until he's not, but he finished their last game with 22 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Both teams are 2-2 over this preseason. Joe, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that the Kings should rename this to the homecoming game. I think, you know, with the amount of Kings players, I mean, what is it? It's DeMarcus, it's Scal, it's Willie Trill. I'm missing somebody, aren't I? Oh, and then John Wall for the other side. Yeah, and John Wall for the other side. But the homecoming game, I think the Kings are going to have an edge. In the Kings Week segment earlier in the week, I thought that the Kings would lose this. Watching how they played the last couple games, I think I'm changing my mind. I know our bet is still on. I still have them. At the same time, if you look at the historical Wizards versus Kings, going back all the way to like January of 2013, it goes, you know, the winning team is Kings, then Wizards, then Kings, then Wizards, then Kings. Well, if you do that, the Wizards are due for a win. So we'll see what happens.
I am so interested in this game, not due to the fact that it's just a preseason game, but I want to see John Wall healthy. And I know this is me just being a huge fan of John Wall. And also, I want to see the Kings defense, like a guy like Aaron Aflalo or even a guy like Ben McLemore, who everyone has been praising for his preseason play. I feel like I'm the only one who has really been criticizing him. And maybe I've been the hardest on Ben McLemore, but at the same time, I've also said that I think he could be one of those players that actually flourishes in this Dave Veager system, but he has actually had a very bad preseason, in my opinion, and I believe we talked about that on Wednesday's show. But I want to see how this team, with a Aflalo, with a Ben McLemore, maybe even with a Garrett Temple, who this is his former team, I want to see how they're going to try and guard this quick backcourt of Bradley Beal and John Wall, especially now that they're going to be I think John Wall's still going to be limited in this game to 20 minutes, but Bradley Beal has been carrying the workload offensively for the Wizards. I wanted to see how they're going to address that backcourt, because that is a very solid backcourt in the Eastern Conference. They're fast. Bradley Beal is one of the most lethal shooters in the game today when he's on the floor. I'm always going to put that caveat on there because he's one game away or 1 minute away from being injured. Like, it's just unfortunate, but he has that label. He is always injured, and that sucks, but he got paid, and he needs to stay healthy for this team. So, Joe, what is your matchup of the game for this one?
Well, the matchup of the game, I mean, you kind of just hit it, but it's going to be Aflalo and Beal. If Aflalo can limit Beal, the Wizards absolutely lose. I just don't think that there's going to be enough scoring punch out there without him being the main guy. And so, sorry, I don't know what just my computer just started singing at me, so I'll edit that out. I think without Beal out there, you know, being the scoring punch, I just don't see them having a chance to win this game. And at the same time, if Aflalo lets him go crazy, then I see it going the other direction. So how about you?
As much as I was just harping on how I want to see that matchup between Beal and the two shooting guards, potentially three if you count Garrett Temple, I'm actually not even looking at that at all as my matchup of the game. And I was debating between either the point guard spot with Darren Collison and maybe even Ty Lawson you can throw in there against John Wall when he's playing his 20 minutes. Because when he's playing his 20 minutes, he's still John Wall. But at the same time, I'm looking at that center position, and a guy like Marcin Gortat seems to always give DeMarcus Cousins fits, at least during the regular season. And I want to see Gortat bang into Cousins. I want to see this system test a guy like Gortat, who is normally known for being able to bang and bruise DeMarcus Cousins down there, or at least absorb the hits that Cousins brings every single night when he's in the low post, and how DeMarcus can exploit him for stepping out a little bit too high in that high post system and being able to dribble drive on him. So I'm gonna go with DeMarcus Cousins against Marcin Gortat, and because I think that would be actually a fun matchup to watch from beginning to end as long as they're playing in the game.
See, I like that matchup if Morris is healthy, but it doesn't look like he's going to be playing. And so if that happens, then you're going to have both of Kufis and DeMarcus out there at the same time. And I think between the two of them, they can easily overwhelm what Gortat can do, because who are you going to put in as that power forward?
I mean, Markieff Morris, I think, is getting a little undervalued in fantasy right now. But at the same time, he has issues with being able to stay a consistent defender for some reason since coming over to Washington. And I just don't understand why. I mean, he was a good defender for Phoenix when he was engaged. And I don't know if that he's not engaged right now, but he just doesn't seem like he has that initial push to be overly aggressive on the defensive end of the floor. I know he's dealing with, I believe, what is an ankle injury, or it could be a knee injury. I don't know that off the top of my head. Also, speaking of injuries, Otto Porter had just had bruised ribs. He left Wednesday night's game against the Philadelphia Sixers after running in with Joel Embiid with bruised ribs, and he did not return. So there's a good chance that he could be out for Saturday's matchup against the Kings, as they want to take precautionary measures and making sure that he's healthy for the regular season. No timetable has been addressed for that, so you may see a lot of Kelly Oubre, who I'm becoming a fan of this preseason. But you said who's going to play the power forward spot. A young cat like Andrew Nicholson, who was in Orlando and now is now with the Washington Wizards. 11 points, 12 rebounds against the Sixers. He's actually a very strong guy, has a nice mid-range jumper. He kind of reminds me of a Brandon Bass type of player. I think that's who you'd see, and I would love to see him matched up against a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein, who I'm ready to see him next to DeMarcus Cousins in this system. I want to see how that pairing works, and we have yet to see that, but I want to see that happen in this game as well, especially since it's the Kentucky home, the homecoming game, as you said, Joe.
I'd be interesting to watch that. I'm thinking that if Oubre comes in, what do you think Gay's chances of just going absolutely wild on him are?
I have a weird feeling in my stomach that you're going to see Rudy Gay be rested. I think you're going to see Rudy Gay and Darren Collison be rested in this game, just because you saw DeMarcus and Ty Lawson get the rest in the matchup against the Lakers. So they may give those guys the night off. But if that's the case, if Rudy Gay does play, and we're going to assume that he does because there's been no indication that he is going to be sitting out, it's just my assumption, you're going to see what he did against Brandon Ingram, and he's going to be on triple-double watch. So, I mean, that's what Shaquille O'Neal calls barbecue chicken.
And that was my thoughts as well. If he is, you know, if the trend continues and he does get a little bit of rest, that makes sense. But if not, if he does play this game, he would be my FanDuel pick of the night. If there was a, you know, if he ends up in the game. So I would be watching that very closely as the game draws near.
My FanDuel play of the night, and I believe I said it last time, I'm going to stick with it. It's going to be Kelly Oubre because he's cheap. Or I believe it was either Kelly Oubre or Rudy Gay. I can't really remember. But I think I might switch it to actually Bradley Beal just because I think he's going to score a ton in this game against the Kings. Anyways. Before we sign off here, Joe, we move on, or before we sign off and do our little signing things, what are your three keys to the game?
Three keys to the game. If they can keep the 3 points shooting where it was the other night, and that's impossible, but if they can just keep it even remotely close to that, that would be my number one. They were beaten in offensive rebounds the other day against the Lakers. That's one of the only stats they actually lost, and I'd like to see them get a lot more offensive rebounds. They haven't been doing a good job. The Kings have not been doing a good job of getting offensive boards. Because of the way the high post works, a lot of times the big men aren't always directly under the hoop, so you're not getting as many offensive boards. I'd like to see somehow that get worked out. And if it can, obviously that's going to, you know, dramatically change the score. And then my third one is, again, who's rested, who's not, and how do the lineups work out? It's kind of like the rest of the preseason. If you run out 3 rookies, how that's going to look. I would almost say the key to the game would be watch the first half for reality and watch the second half for entertainment.
My 3 keys of the game are stop penetration. I think you're going to see a guy like John Wall and even a guy like Bradley Beal try and penetrate to the basket and get easy ones around the cup or see the kick out. So I think stopping penetration initially and making them have to reset is going to be a huge key to this game for the victory. I also want to say close out on shooters. They're going to be shooting a lot of 3-pointers with Kelly Oubre and Bradley Beal out on the floor, and I think they need to continue to defend the perimeter. I think this is going to be a great test for them. In this game, you saw a guy like Lou Williams and D'Angelo Russell and even Lou Alding a little bit in that Lakers game be able to knock down some wide open threes. I think the Kings need to be able to get through their rotations a little bit better, and that's why I said it's going to be a good test for guys like Garrett Temple, Aaron Aflalo, and Ben McLemore to close out on these three-point shooters that they have. And the third one is going to be feed the ball to the big man, and I want to see him be tested. I think this is a time where you want to test the versatility of DeMarcus Cousins on a guy like Gortat in this system. Try and see if you can get Gortat to step out to where DeMarcus Cousins can beat him off the dribble. For a big man, DeMarcus Cousins has a pretty quick first step. And he can also bruise the opposing big men in the low post. So I want to see them start doing that a little bit. And those are our three keys to the game. And that is our season preview, our game preview. Those are our three keys to the game. And that is our game preview. Joe, that means this is the show. Let the fans out there know where they can find you online and what you'll be doing this weekend.
Man, you can always find me at Sac Sports Morgan. Man, I've been messing that up lately. I'm giving out the wrong thing, but it's at Sac Sports Morgan on Twitter. And, man, what am I doing this weekend? Not a whole lot of nothing, man.
You guys can follow me on all social media platforms of at VM Center. And, Joe, I know what I'm doing this weekend. It's going to be something so much fun. It's called Working the Wire for hoop-ball.com. That's going to be one of my things that I'll be doing. And also, guys, just because I brought up the site, and there's a reason why I did that on purpose, is because Monday through Friday, I'm actually hosting a fantasy NBA Tonight show. Right now, my hosts are going to be with Aaron Brewski, Jake Cousins on Monday, and Dan Bespris during the day. So you guys go over to hoop-ball.com and subscribe over there, bookmark the site, and look for all of those shows. I wanted to give a shout-out to our main guy, John Schifferle. Sorry, I was reading something, guys. I want to give a shout out to John Schifferle. He was unfortunately not able to join the show today, but he will be on Monday's episode. He's had a busy week at work. I want to say congrats. Relax this weekend, John, and we'll be talking to you later this week. I want to thank you once again to everyone joining us for our daily podcast now of the Kings Court Podcast. Leave us a rating, subscribe to the show, and until next time, Sacramento Kings fans, bye-bye.